Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 89, recorded Saturday, April 16th, 2011. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. Two topics on this edition of the Travel Commons Podcast: trains instead of planes, and travel challenge, 2 weeks in one carry-on. Okay, well, this week, coming to you again, from the Travel Commons studios outside of Chicago, Illinois. I know I'm getting a bit bored with it, too. I mean, I tried to record this podcast this past week in the Doubletree Suites in Naples, Florida, but I just couldn't get everything written in time. I mean, I even downloaded GarageBand for my iPad, too, but I found that it has a time limit for its recording. It's too short for this podcast, unless I wanted to do a lot more editing and stitching. I've racked up a bit of mileage since the last episode, doing my usual runs to Phoenix, where I did catch my first spring training baseball game, the White Sox and the Giants, sitting out on the lawn on a beautiful afternoon, and then also down last week to Naples, Florida. There were also some new runs to London, Paris, and then to Milan on my way to a vacation rendezvous with my family in Venice. You know, it was kind of fun to meet up with my wife and daughter in a new city. I'd taken the train over from Milan and got to our hotel first, so I was sitting on the patio drinking a cappuccino when they pulled up in their water taxi. I saw them coming down the canal and waved to them, but they didn't see me until they were right at the hotel. Indeed, my daughter took a picture of the hotel as they were coming up to it, and if you look closely, you can see me in the corner waving for my table. It was pretty funny. You know, it's not going to slow down going forward. I'm off to the UK tomorrow, Sunday afternoon, and then the last week of April, I'm in India, bouncing across the usual suspects, Bangalore, Pune, Chennai, and then with a weekend in the Kerala backwater, so that ought to be nice. I get back, take a week to adjust to Central Time, and then head out to San Francisco for the Google I.O. conference. Following up, well, nobody sent in an audio comment this month, so you're stuck with the sound of my voice all the way through. So let's get the obligatory TSA rant out of the way. When I saw the video of the TSA doing a grope down of a 6-year-old girl in New Orleans airport, I wasn't shocked, I wasn't outraged, I just shook my head at just the mindless stupidity of it, just sort of numb to yet another of these endless streams of senseless TSA acts. I mean, when the screener is executing the grope down while being filmed by the parent and off camera, the supervisor agrees with the action, and then in a follow-up statement, the TSA says, in essence, yeah, the screener did the right thing. I mean, this incident is a proof point that it's not just stupid acts of individual screeners. The TSA as an organization is fundamentally broken. I mean, it's developed a culture that can't use common sense. I mean, the only successful thing the TSA has done is replace the IRS as the most reviled part of the federal government. Okay, glad to get that out of the way. Let's talk about something a little more fun. Hey, in the last episode, I talked about stuff that caught my eye at last month's Travel Goods show. Now, one thing I forgot to mention was Arctech toothpaste tablets. Try saying that one 3 times fast. Now, I've talked in the past about switching from toothpaste to tooth powder some years back, first to avoid the liquid ban, and then I kept it to avoid having to pull out a baggie full of toiletries at the screening point. I mean, I've kept liquids out of my bag, so it's less hassle at the screening point. Well, Arctech has a different spin off of tooth powder. Instead, you put a tablet in your mouth, chew it up, and then start brushing. I mean, I was a little skeptical at first. Indeed, I had to remind myself not to swallow. It felt kind of like a chewable vitamin. But once I started brushing, it foamed up, you know, way more than any tooth powder I've used. If you can find Arctec toothpaste tablets, buy them. They're definitely recommended. Also, in the last episode, I talked about dropping status, specifically how, you know, United Airlines didn't soft land me for my 1K status. They dropped me all the way down from 1K to Premier. Now, this had a big impact on accruing mileage. 1Ks get 100% mileage bonus, while Premiers only get 25%. But another big impact is who you get routed to within United's customer service network when you call in. 1Ks talk to United employees and corporate headquarters near O'Hare Airport. They're the most experienced and best trained customer service agents, as you would expect, talking to the top tier status. The Premier desk, it's a long way from O'Hare. It's in Cebu City in the Philippines. I found that out when I had to call to change an award ticket to accommodate my London trip. I mean, it wasn't a major problem. The agents were pleasant, they spoke understandable English, and they were able to make the changes that I needed. But again, it was a bit of a jarring experience and reminded me once more of the little niceties that status brings. A point that was actually brought home to my 17-year-old son when he traveled without me on his German club trip to Germany, Switzerland, and Austria while the rest of us were in Venice. Picking him up at the airport, he said, "I hate traveling without you, Dad. I was treated just like a peon." Well, you know, I'll take that. As any parent will tell you, it's nice being wanted by your teacher, even if it is just for pre-boarding and access to airport clubs. So in three groups, my son, my wife and daughter, and me left for Europe out of O'Hare's Terminal 1. And all of us made time to stop at Rick Bayless's new Mexican tortas, or sandwich place, Frontera Tortas, in the front concourse of Terminal 1, Concourse B. Now, Bayless is one of the most famous chefs in Chicago. He won the first season of Bravo TV's Top Chef Masters contest and runs Barack and Michelle Obama's favorite date night restaurant, Topolobampo. Now, I've eaten at his original restaurant, Frontera Grill, since it opened in the mid-80s, and have yet to have a bad meal. So when he opened Frontera Torta, I had to try it. Now, the lines can be long, but the food is good. I had the Cochina Pibil Torta. I guess that's how it's pronounced. Anyhow, it ends up being pulled pork and pickled red onions sandwich with a habanero salsa on the side. Now, it's a good thing that salsa's on the side. It is the spiciest thing I've ever had in any airport, anywhere, in all my travels. And I think that's saying something. Now, they did warn me, though, that it was going to be hot, which I appreciated. Anyhow, it is great food and a good place to kill a United Airlines delay in O'Hare. When I was flying out to London on O'Hare, I found it easier to check in with the self-service kiosks, even though I was flying business class. I mean, the line for business class check-in was at least five deep, but there were a half dozen open kiosks. I fired one up, put my passport on the scanner, and within a couple of minutes, I was on my way to the security line. It was not that easy, though, on the flight back. We were flying Lufthansa back from Venice by way of Munich. After catching a water taxi from our hotel, much cooler, but a much longer ride than the water taxis to and from Logan Airport in Boston. We got there, had to trundle along, geez, it seemed like for 5 to 10 minutes to get from the dock to the terminal, and then queued up for the kiosk. It was taking people in front of me much longer than a couple of minutes, but I don't know, they looked like tourists. Finally, I worked my way to the front of the line, not exactly a linear process in Italy, and I started checking in. Now, the workflow wasn't as straightforward and as well designed as the United kiosk, but that wasn't the problem. It was that the kiosk kept restarting and rebooting halfway through the check-in process, and the passport scanner was very fiddly. I mean, it took me at least 15 minutes to get my wife, my daughter, me all checked in, and there wasn't another alternative. There were only two desk agents, but they were just checking luggage for those who checked in at the kiosks, and they had no interest coming out from behind those desks to figure out the rebooting kiosk. I mean, I don't mind self-service when it works, but I don't know, you got to have another alternative there. And finally, going all the way back to episode 86 from last December, prompted by a question from a listener, Betty Boyd, about the Travel Commons closing song, Pictures of You, by the Scottish band Evangeline, I ended up dipping into the archives and played an interview with the band's manager that gave some backstory on the song. Now, a couple of days ago, the song's writer dropped this comment on the Travel Commons website. He said, he wrote, go figure. Anyhow, hi Mark, I'm John Naismith, songwriter from the former band Evangeline. I'm so glad you enjoy the song Pictures of You. It's good to know that people like Becky from Carolina can identify with the song, because that was the intent when writing it. Life on the road is hard, and leaving your family behind is hard. Anyway, a million thanks to you for using this song for so long. I wish you and your show all the best in the future. Love and friendship from Scotland. Hey, John, thanks for stopping by the site and leaving the comment. Also, thanks for letting me use your song. It has always been, in my mind, the perfect song for the frequent traveler. Hey, if you have a question, a comment, a story, a travel tip, the voice of the traveler, send them along. The email address is comments@travelcommons.com. You can use the voice memo app on your iPhone or something like virtual recorder on your Android phone to record and send in an audio comment like folks in the past have. You can also send a Twitter message to M. Peacock, or you can post your thoughts on the Travel Commons Facebook page, or you can always go old school like John did and post your thoughts on the website at travelcommons.com. First topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is trains instead of planes. My spring break vacation plans for Venice, Italy got munged up a bit, munged being a technical term, technical travel term, when a customer in London demanded my presence the Wednesday before we were to fly out from Chicago. Doing a one-day up and back to London just didn't make any sense, though as longtime listeners will recall from episode 70, that hasn't stopped me in the past. But this time, better sense won out, so instead of flying home, I visited the staff in our queue office on Thursday, a customer in Paris on Friday, and then vectored through Milan on Saturday to meet up with my family in Venice Sunday morning. Since I wasn't on a tight schedule, I decided to skip the airports and do all these legs on the train. No lines, no grope downs, just sort of glide from center city to center city. In past episodes, I've talked about my preference for Amtrak's Acela service when traveling the Northeast Corridor in the U.S. from New York to Washington, so I was looking forward to trying the same thing in Europe. Now, last month, I tweeted a link to a graph showing that in Europe, rail is becoming the preferred method of transport when trips drop down, say, to around 3 hours or below. Indeed, before digging the Channel Tunnel, London to Paris was one of the busiest air routes in the world, but now air travel has dropped to less than 20%. Since I needed to get, actually, from London to Paris on Thursday afternoon, I decided to start my train journey with the Eurostar. Now, it wasn't cheap. You know, premium economy was $250. I couldn't in my mind justify the $400 business class ticket. Rolling my bag through St. Pancras Station in London felt a bit like an airport experience. Queue up, wave your boarding pass in front of the reader, put your bags through the x-ray machine, walk through the metal detector, go through passport control. You go through French immigration in London, kind of like going through U.S. immigration in the Toronto airport. But all that being said, it was definitely more laid back, nothing like the just sort of full-on insanity that is Heathrow. It was at boarding time, though, that I really felt the difference. No calling out groups, no jockeying around the jet bridge door. We just walked up the ramp up to the train platform, found our cars, and, you know, pulling out, there was no PA announcement scolding us to immediately take our seats, no flight attendants giving us the once-over to make sure we turned off our cell phones. I mean, you know, people were still wandering around, and I was still cranking away on a document on my PC when I noticed out of the corner of my eye the platform slipping away. Now, the journey under the English Channel, I don't know. I guess I was surprised at how uneventful it was. I mean, indeed, I was in the toilet when we entered the tunnel. No announcement, no ear popping, you know, going down under the water, just, you know, I don't know, 15 to 20 minute journey through a dark tunnel, and then pop, you know, you're up in France. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting, but I don't know. I guess I thought there'd be a bit more to it. Now, Saturday's ride on the TGV, France's high-speed train, from Paris to Milan, now that was a good bit different. I mean, the price was a good bit lower, $150 for business class, and the ride was longer, 7 hours instead of two. But the scenery was much better, up over the Alps instead of a tunnel under the ocean. Now, this being a Saturday, it was more families, less business. You know, kind of like my Southwest flight this past Thursday, coming back from Fort Myers, Florida. Though in some ways, it was worse. Now, you know, on Southwest, once the kids are seated, they stayed there, buckled in. On the TGV, the entire car became the playground for this one toddler. He just kept racing up and down the aisle from one end of the car to the other. This went on for hours because the train ride was more than twice as long as my Fort Myers flight. I mean, all that being said, I enjoyed this train ride too. It was an easy cab ride from my hotel to Gare du Nord. There was no security on boarding. I was able to get up and buy a beer whenever I wanted to, sort of provided I could dodge the running kid. I was really glad, though, that I brought an extra battery for the Bose headphones, and that I had something to look out the window. Second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is Travel Challenge, 2 weeks in one carry-on. Now, the night before I left on this European trip, I tweeted and posted on the Travel Commons Facebook page, today's Travel Challenge, how to pack for 10 days, 3 cities, 2 business meetings, and a week's vacation in a single carry-on bag. Lori Hum wrote, my number one travel rule, pack light and buy what you need when you get there. While Alan Marco commented, depends on how often you want to do laundry on vacation. Chris Webb tweeted back asking to know how it all came out. Well, actually, it wasn't as tough as I thought it might be. I mean, the challenge was packing for business and for tourism without looking out of place in either. I mean, lucky for me, I was only having to cover one climate, European spring, and I was vacationing among Italians, who are probably some of the sharpest dressers in Europe. My packing strategy, I think I've got a pretty good basic packing strategy. It starts with a single color family. I always try and stay in one color family so things mix and match. And usually for me, that color family is black. Black jacket, olive and tan slacks, an assortment of shirts, a red pattern tie if absolutely necessary, and I'm good for a week. But what about the second week? Well, when I would do 2 week stretches in South Africa a couple of years ago, I'd pack a week's worth of clothes and then send my shirts to the cleaners on the weekend and sort of stomp on my understuff, t-shirts, underwear, and my socks while I was in the shower. But that was because I was staying in the same place, the same hotel, for 2 weeks straight. On this trip, I couldn't do that. I was bouncing between places until actually we got down to Venice. So for this trip, I took a different tack. I kept the color wheel on black, but I left my workout gear at home. Now, I figured we'd be walking all over Venice, so that would give me enough exercise. And gym shoes take up a proportionally large amount of space in the suitcase, which I instead filled with a couple of sweaters and another week worth of socks and understuff. I mean, with a week's worth of shirts, but with 2 weeks of undershirts, I figured I could get 2 days out of each shirt. Didn't think I'd be sweating too much in London and Paris in March. And most of the extra undershirts and socks were just sort of on their last legs. I mean, I ended up leaving a trail of jockey t-shirts from London to Paris to Milan, but it worked out well because I ended up making room for some souvenir carnival masks for next year Mardi Gras party. I don't know, it ended up working well for me, this approach. And the measure of that was that I did not return with one clean piece of clothing, nor did I have to do any laundry over the whole 2 weeks. Now, I'm not sure, though, that I can use the same strategy for next week's trip to India. With a forecast of 90 degrees and 90% humidity, I don't think that no sweat assumption is going to work out. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons Podcast number 89. I hope you all enjoyed this podcast, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. Indeed, I hope you decide to tell somebody else what a great little podcast this is. Anyhow, the bridge music on today's show is from Magnatunes, the We Are Not Evil label. Planetostatin. Oh, man, I have just picked songs that I am not going to be able to pronounce. Planetostatin. It looks very Dutch. From Philip Weigel. Suerte Mijo by Arthur Yoria. And here's one I can pronounce. Violent and Beautiful by the Union Trade. Well, the website is magnatune.com, and you'll be able to find links to these songs should you like them and not be able to decipher my pronunciation. You can find links to them in the show notes. Hey, if you have a story, thought, comment, gripe, the voice of the traveler, send them along, text or audio file to comment, COMMENTS at travelcommons.com, or you can always tweet me at mpeacock on Twitter, or write them on the Travel Commons wall on Facebook, or post them on our website at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone who has taken time to send in emails, tweets, and to post comments on the Facebook site or on the website. So this is it. I'm off for another 2 weeks of international travel. And until we talk again, thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons. Take care. Bye now.
Home alone, life is hell. Strange bed in a lonely motel. One thing can ease my mind, the one woman that I left behind. From California to Carolina, she calls me up and there's nothing finer. And when the tears start falling, crying into the phone,